There'll be peace. So, what about that vision of the peaceable kingdom given in Isaiah? Where the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. How's that? The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand in the adder's den. Snakes and all that. I wouldn't let a children get close to that. You wouldn't either. The only place where you know the wolf and the lamb, the calf and the lion can get along together is where? Probably the pet cemetery, right? Okay. And yet, we have this whole world to look after. God's given us and called us to be good stewards of the earth and the world. And we have this whole world to look after, and we might say that it's not going so well at times. You know, the pesky lions lunching on your fatlings, that kind of stuff. Wolf packs stealing your sheep. Actually, I just read an article about the ranches in the mountains just north of Lake Tahoe Resort Community and Lake and all that of it is north. They're reintroducing gray wolves in that area, and the scientists are trying to figure out what to do because these gray wolves have taken a liking to the livestock, especially the beef cattle, and they're eating them. And one beef cattle is about worth $1,000, so they don't like the fact that these gray wolves are around. Might even say, okay, snakes in the grass keep nibbling at the children. You want to watch out for that, right? What about the economy or the state of education or the quality of parenting or the high unemployment rates and all that stuff that's happening there, or the church losing members? The finances are down. The list goes on and on with all kinds of stuff. There's no solution that we might be able to think of. And besides all that, the wickedly powerful in the world among our people are picking on the poor and weak folks. Yes, try as you might, we're not strong enough or clever enough or wise enough or big enough to straighten the entire mess out. See, we long for a world where order replaces chaos and peace replaces conflict. And yes, we agree kind of that the natural order of things shows us that wolves do eat lambs or livestock, and lions eat antelopes. And unfortunately, the violence goes beyond the wild kingdom to play an important part in the functioning of civilization amongst people. A couple of theologians, Stanley Hauerwas and William Willimon from Duke Divinity School, have written that we, quote, we are quite literally a people that morally live off of our wars. We live off of our wars because they give us the necessary basis for self-sacrifice so that people who have been taught to pursue their only interest can at times be mobilized to die for one another. Okay, so it's not just wars that we might be talking about. So often we see conflicts all around, from fights at sporting events to conflicts in the political arena, even to disagreement in Christian communities and churches. All around we see people who fuss and fight and feast on each other's faults. It's a wilderness out there, yes, and perhaps even in our own lives. We know deep down that the peaceful kingdom can only be constructed by the one, that's capital O-N-E, the one who has, quote, the spirit of wisdom. We heard this morning. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. We want a godly leader, that godly leader, because peace requires transformation. For there to be peace among people of the world and even among people of God, we cannot simply stay the same. We require transformation. And often we might not even like that. It involves change. Change of thinking, change of acting, of living. Our gospel today shows us that in the wilderness, and that again is not geographically speaking, but in the wilderness of our own lives, a John the Baptist appears and calls us to what? To repentance, a turning around away from self-centered self-interest, and a turning to the life of God, or to the God of life. A letting God reclaim, reorder, and recreate us, in effect, to transform us. And notice what John the Baptist says in this gospel. Can you imagine a preacher saying to people, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Say, welcome. You know, how's that for welcome? But John the Baptist, I want to focus on, says, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Such fruit bearing involves more than just thinking in a different way. It also involves acting in a different way. The thinking was the Greek focus of the word, change of mind. But there's another part. The bearing fruit focuses on more the Hebrew idea, a change of direction or of acting. Luther, in his small catechism, writes about the daily significance of our baptism with water as part of our confession that we had, but doing that right at the baptismal font. Baptism. On the one hand, and he says, what's the significance of that baptism? On the one hand, the old person, and this is it, one old person in us, the old nature within us, with all our sins and evil desires, is to be drowned through daily sorrow and repentance, through repentance. And on the other hand, that daily a new person is to come forth and rise up to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Thinking and acting, daily repentance, dying and rising daily, remembering our baptism. A contemporary Lutheran scholar writes, unfortunately, repentance is often understood, so now we get more some theology here, repentance is often understood as an I can experience. I can repent. I can do better. I can please you, God. You know, we might be sorry for our sin, but when we think that I can do better, so often we interpret repentance as our way of turning to God. And that cannot be. Christianity is not about an individual turning to God. Let's be clear about that. Christianity is not about an individual turning to God. Christianity is about God turning to us, to you, to each of us. In repenting, therefore, we ask the God who has turned toward us, God has turned toward us and buried in baptism and raised to new life, to us who have been buried in baptism and raised to new life, to continue, and we ask God to continue his work of putting us to death daily. Repentance isn't an I can't experience. Oh, sorry, I should say, repentance is an I can't experience. We think it can be, I can do this, but it's an I can't experience. To repent is to volunteer for death. Who wants to do that? Repentance asks that the death of self, which God began to work in us in baptism, continue on daily, even to this day. The repentant person comes before God saying, I can't do it by myself, God. Kill me and give me a new life. Kill that old nature within me and give me a new life daily. You buried me in baptism. Bury me again today. Raise me and raise me to a new life that I might live this day in your grace and in your peace. A new life. That's the language of repentance. Repentance is a daily experience that renews our baptism into Christ. Here you note that we can note that the command, you know, every time you have a present tense verb in the New Testament, especially the Greek, present tense verb, and the command to repent denotes, the Greek present tense denotes a continual or repeated action. In other words, repent is really, keep on repenting. Keep on repenting. You know, repenting isn't like a door that we pass through once that gets us into the kingdom of God. Repentance is an ongoing lifestyle of the people in the kingdom. Ongoing. Yes, John the Baptist then is this one who comes and assures us that God has not forgotten us, that God is going to do God's will among us no matter how bleak the situation or how difficult the problem. John the Baptist points us to this Jesus, this one who comes, to God's work in us and through us and for us, pointing to this one, capital O again, one, coming from God to transform our souls, our very lives with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And the prophet Isaiah, you remember, you heard this earlier, had the courage to write, a shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse. Jesse, we know, is one of the kings of Judah there in Israel, Judah, the southern kingdom. And Jesse is known to be the father of David, King David, who is the ancestor of Jesus. And I know I'm running out of time here, and so I'll close with a story and reflect on that. As told by a United Church pastor there in the States, author in an article in the December issue, this month's issue of the Christian Century, a leading Protestant journal. And she writes, perhaps you heard about the elegant sycamore gap tree at the northern edge of England. I'd never heard about it before, but I was meeting with somebody on Friday, and I kind of mentioned this story, and this individual said, oh yeah, that sycamore, I heard about that. Anybody hear about the sycamore gap tree? Yeah, you heard about that, right? You know, it's this elegant gap tree, sycamore gap tree, the northern edge of England, one of the most photographed trees in the country. Featured on calendars and postcards and guidebooks and all that kind of stuff. Day hikers would go there and take all kinds of selfies, you know, with this tree behind them. Some people have gone and renewed their wedding vows under the tree, all that kind of stuff. One windy night in September of 2023, vandals cut down the tree with a chainsaw. And this tree, which took over a century to grow, fell within minutes. People reacted with anger, with sorrow, with lament, which is really this kind of the mood of Advent. It's preparation time, it's waiting, it's expectation, wondering, repentance, watching. Yet the following spring, the park authority placed a sign where the tree once stood. This tree stump is still alive. The stump was fenced off with hopeful words. If we leave it alone, it might sprout new growth. Please respect the barrier. And over the next few months, new shoots began to appear and grow. New shoots were just a couple of leaves, only a few centimeters tall, yet unquestionably alive. And in the centuries before Christ, Isaiah, in the early chapters of a book, Isaiah writes about how the kings of Judah were failing to bear fruit and cutting down God's word. And also, Isaiah writes about how the Babylonian army struck Judah like a vandal's axe. And how he writes about how the people of God looked around and saw the proud house of Jesse and his sons reduced to nothing but a forlorn stump. And Isaiah posted an unlikely sign in his word. This tree stump is still alive. Give it time. Respect the barrier. New life is still possible. God is at work here, so wait and watch. People will be led and even redeemed by a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Yes, a shoot starts small. It requires patience and it requires care. It doesn't live in the typical way or even begin in the typical way. It might, for instance, take root in a virgin's womb. Out of the devastation that the people of old and even we see in our world and lives today, one will emerge who will restore and renew all creation. There is life yet to come. There is peace, even more peace to come. Through Jesus' birth and through his death on the cross. By the way, do you know that his death on the cross, he was baptized. Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, yeah, to fulfill all righteousness, and we read that. But his death on the cross is his real baptism. His real baptism. So Jesus, in his birth, through his death on the cross, and through his resurrection, in that, we are promised the fullness of life and peace. Jesus' death and resurrection is our repentance, our dying, our rising to new and abundant life. And so that pastor, that author that I mentioned in the Christian Century closes the story. This Advent, it's our turn to post signs in our neighborhoods, in relationships, in our churches, and in our nations, our communities and nations, places that look to all appearances so often beyond hope. Like the prophets, we proclaim what looks most dead might yet still be alive. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse. So wait. Watch, the shoot will grow. This is Jesus leading us in and through real repentance to real lasting peace. Friends, we have much to look forward to today, every day, and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.